Welcome to Minster Bank Community Voices, where we give you a behind-the-scenes look at the people who make our organization great.
Today, we are joined by Steve Eiding, Wealth Management Advisor at Minster Bank. I guess just to get started, Steve, if you could just give me an overview of how the market has changed just from the beginning of the year until now. Obviously, there's been a lot of things happening. The economic landscape has shifted. What are some of the things that have been going on?
Okay. Since the coronavirus started, we went from having a very strong economy with the stock market hitting record highs with almost very low 3% unemployment. And by the end of March, the stock market was down about 35%. And we now have between 15 and 20% of the population unemployed. In the 23 trading days from March 19th to March 23rd, the stock market dropped 35%. In the following 24 days, the market went back up 35%, leaving us now down about 15% from the market highs, or down about 1% from where we were a year ago. If you compare that to the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, in that case, the market high occurred in October of 2007 and reached its low about 18 months later in March of 2009. From that point, it took almost 3 years, or until March 2012, to get back to those 2007 highs.
So yeah, obviously a lot of people have been comparing what's happening now to that 2008-2009 period, but I think there are differences. And Steve, what do you think about that? What kind of differences are you seeing here, if any, besides the numbers that we just talked about?
Well, again, in 2007 and 2008, the market correction was caused by weaknesses in the larger banks. This downturn has been created by a medical virus, and then second by the government basically shutting down industries to contain that virus for health reasons. So since the market was on such strong footing before this virus occurred, the thinking is that once the economy is lifted, whether that be later this year or early next year after a vaccine becomes available, that the market will rebound fairly quickly.
Okay, great. I think we're all hoping that's going to be the case. But I think the one question on everyone's mind right now is, should I be worried? What should I be doing with my investments? What can you say about that?
Well, it's very natural for people to be concerned about their economy and the stock market and their investments. However, we have to remember that market corrections are normal. Since 1901, the stock market provided 87 years of positive returns, and only 26% of the time was the market negative. And it's provided annual average returns of over 11.5%. In the 75 years since 1945, the market has dropped more than 30% on five different times. And there were five additional times when the market dropped between 20 and 30%. However, as history has shown, the stock market, when invested for the long term, provides us with the opportunity to grow our investments and to beat inflation. What we really do is we encourage all investors to have a financial plan and to stick with that plan in both good times and in bad. Having a plan helps us focus our long-term goals and to tune out some of the short-term noise. At times like these, we recommend that if people are going to look at their statement, they focus on the number of shares that they own. Even in an economic downturn, the number of shares won't decrease, and they'll actually increase if the investor is contributing to their investments, like in the case with their 401k plan.
Another thing a lot of people are asking, obviously, is this a good time to buy? Should I start selling? I think wanting to just drop things and sell is kind of a natural inclination, but what do you say to that?
During market volatility, people's inclination is always to want to do something. But that's really a very personal question. I think now is a great time to review your asset allocation, which is your mix of investments, whether it be stocks, bonds, or cash, and make sure that that meets your long-term goals. If your financial plan tells you that you have sufficient assets to reach your long-term goals, and the recent market volatility is keeping you from sleeping at night, now may be an opportunity to trim some of your more volatile investment holdings so you don't have to experience that next market upturn, downturn fluctuations. However, if you're a long-term investor and understand that there will be ups and downs in the markets, but you're confident that over the long term that stock investors will be rewarded for higher returns, you should probably stay invested. It's extremely hard to try and time the market. To do so successfully, you have to be correct not only once, but twice. You have to know when to sell your stocks, hopefully at the top of the market, and then again when to buy back, which it would be at the bottom of the market. But that's proven to be very difficult to do. From the beginning of 2000 to the end of 2019, the S&P 500 returned an annualized return of over 6%. If you missed the 10 best days of the market during that 20-year span, your annualized return would have only been less than 2.5%. And it's also important to note that 6 of the 10 best days occurred within 2 weeks of the 10 worst days. So it's impossible for an investor to miss the bad days and only be invested on the good ones.
Yep, I think that's great advice. I think there's kind of that buy low, sell high mentality, but you can't, I think it's, like you said, you can't just guess, you know, it's that's not really how it works.
Right. For most investors, the pathway to success is time in the market, not timing. So we need to be invested over long periods of time to allow compounding interest and dividends to really help our investments grow.
Into this other question, so depending on your age and how long you have left to work and contribute to your retirement account, what should someone be doing if they're younger or if they're older and kind of looking at their retirement account?
Sure. Again, everybody's circumstances are different. But if you're younger and just beginning to start investing for retirement, a correction like this actually provides long-term investors with the opportunity to buy their investments at a discount. It's been said that stocks are the only thing that people don't like to buy when they're on sale. When we're younger and buying at a discount, we have the opportunity to add more shares to our portfolio. I always recommend that people begin saving as soon as possible, again, to allow that power of compounding to help them grow their portfolio. For older investors, on the other hand, our asset allocation, again, that mix of stocks, bonds, and cash, comes into play more. Hopefully, you have your short-term needs, money needed in the next 1 to 3 years, invested very conservatively in cash, such as savings, CDs, or other secure investments. For your intermediate term needs, say 3 to 7 years, you can invest a little more aggressively with a mix of bonds and dividend-paying stocks. And then for those longer-term goals, you can invest even more aggressively with the hopes of earning a return higher than the rate of inflation. Then when the market is up, you would refill those more conservative buckets, and when the market's down, you use only the very conservative assets and don't sell any of those stocks until the market has the opportunity to recover.
Yeah, some great points. And I think a big takeaway, especially when you're young, people think, well, I'm only putting in a little bit, it doesn't matter. But it does matter because you have all those years where it can accumulate interest and grow.
Correct. The rule of 72, which is a basic financial concept, states that your money, if you're earning a 7% rate of return, will double every 10 years. So obviously, the earlier you get at least some money in, it has that opportunity to grow and to continue to compound.
Next thing I want to ask, which we touched on this a little bit, but what kind of plans should people be making as they think about the rest of the year? Do analysts you know, what are they thinking is going to happen in the market during the rest of 2020?
The truth is no one knows for sure, but that doesn't sell books or get you on TV. If the economy opens back up without a huge spike in new cases, the economy should get back to prior levels within the next couple of quarters is our thinking. However, if the virus does come back and new cases spike, we may have to close the economy down again or slow it down, which could make the markets drop even further. Again, with our customers, we're trying to focus on the longer term. So rather than focus on what the market will do the rest of this year or even early next year, we try to get people to focus on where the markets will be 5 years from now. Companies are currently making tremendous strides in technology and healthcare. Our supply chains are going to be different now in the future than they are right now. And good companies with strong balance sheets will survive and continue to thrive. If you think the economy will grow over the next 5 years, it takes a lot of stress away from worrying about what the markets will do tomorrow or the next day.
And I think kind of leading into that, so we've talked about this a little bit already, but how can a financial advisor help me plan and help me make those decisions for the long term?
Well, a financial advisor should be doing more for you than just helping you pick some investments. They should help you put a plan in place and then help you stick to it. Some of the steps that they should walk you through would include, first, when you meet with them, they should gather your current data and help you determine what your financial goals are. Once they have your current data and you know what your goals are, they should analyze your current financial situation to see exactly where you are, make sure you're investing properly to help meet those goals, and then make some recommendations on what you can do going forward. They do that as part of how they do that is in the process of developing and presenting a plan for you. So once you have a plan, you have a roadmap on your path from where you are to meeting your goals. Then once they develop that plan, they'll help you implement the plan. And that's really when you start talking about investments and how to be proper allocated again amongst the mix of stocks, bonds, cash, and then the different styles within those categories. And then once you have that plan developed and implemented, they should help you monitor, review, and update that plan. And a big part of that is maintaining an unemotional process for rebalancing and decision-making. Again, we talked earlier that once people open that statement and see a loss, their natural reaction is to do something. And unfortunately, a lot of times that reaction is to sell what's down because they're scared and don't want to do that. But by doing that, they don't allow those assets to recover. So again, if you have that longer term goal and that longer term plan to focus on that goal, it makes it a lot easier to stay unemotional regarding your finances. And another thing that I always remind people is that if you're working with an advisor and you're not happy with the service you're receiving, you need to let that advisor know and let them first and ask some more questions and let them know what kind of level that of service that you're expecting so that they can meet those goals.
Yep, those are some great things every financial advisor should be helping you do. And Steve, do you have any tips for finding a good financial advisor that you would like to work with and feel comfortable with?
One thing I would do is ask your friends, family, who they work with. And another thing is to meet with that person before you decide what you're going to do and make sure you're comfortable with them on a personal level. If you don't relate to them on a personal level, chances are the investment process may not be what you're comfortable with either. What we try to do whenever we meet with our customers is we refer back to that plan and try and remind our customers of what those long-term goals were and show them how what we're doing now is going to help them meet those goals. We also try and focus on tax-advantaged investing. So we look at what ways not only can we earn the highest return for the least amount of risk, but we look at how we can do that on a tax effective basis so that we're not paying any more in taxes than what we have to. Yeah. The nice part about working with us is that we have a team. So we have multiple advisors here that we can bounce things off of. So never does someone's plan go unlooked at by someone else. You know, also at a bank and a trust department, we have a lot of oversight, which is good for the customer, not always great for us. But we review, as I mentioned, all of our accounts, at least on an annual basis, in front of a committee of both internal and external board of directors. We also have examiners come in that look at all of our accounts, that look at a sample of our accounts on an annual basis. So there's a lot of extra eyes looking at the accounts to make sure that they're invested properly within the goals set by the customer and reviewed by us. Yeah, the easiest way to get a hold of us is through an email. It's privatewealth@minsterbank.com. That way, if one advisor's out or busy, it gets seen by our whole team. So you're sure to get a quick response that way.
See what we can achieve together. Minster Bank, serving our community since 1914.